There's a lot going on, of course, with USF Athletics. We covered all here for you on the show. I went from being in the Selman Athletic Center to about all of 4 minutes during the summer to almost every day, 5 days a week here as we're into the fall season, and you get to bounce into a bunch of other people. And, of course, I've always noticed that the track and field coaching staff of Eric Jenkins is doing something all the time. And they just announced last week something I meant to mention on Monday's show, a new group of Bulls, including some recent success. Aaron Carter was a NCAA tournament qualifier as far as the regionals went last year for Arkansas State in the discus. He is from Palatka. He's officially a Bull. How about the junior college national high jump champ? Yep, Romaine Beckford. They are looking everywhere to bring in Bulls. He was at South Plains Community College. He is out of Jamaica, as is a new member of the women's side, Anaya Ashley from Barton Community College. She was the national champ in the high jump and the long jump. Yeah, that's pretty good work by the staff, which also brings in a WAC conference champion, Samari Bonds, as far as the throws go. Congratulations to the Bulls as they are bringing in some quality talent, and look out for them this season. Also, and these are a couple of names that frankly I'd told you about on the program before, but they were officially announced by the softball via, you know, a fancy article and all that, so we'll remind you. And they're both pitchers. And boy, is that significant, because as you know, Georgina Corrick has the ace role covered. But as a stat that I've mentioned a couple times last year revealed, after that, kind of a drop-off. I think there's not many teams in softball history at the college level that have had one pitcher get at least 300 strikeouts and no one else get double digits. I don't think we're going to have that go on this season, because now the Bulls have on their side Aaron Pepping. And yes, I confirmed the pronunciation of her name, which if you look at the spelling, P-O-E-P-P-I-N-G, could be Poping, Pepping, or Popping. It is definitely Pepping. Either way, this is her fifth year of eligibility. She has 502 career innings with a 3.33 ERA. Mind you, East Carolina, a below 500 team, so her 35-48 record isn't quite so significant as it is how many innings she's logged and can help out the Bulls in a big-time way. Coach Ken Erickson says she is a quality competitor and student-athlete. I loved her tenacity in big games when I watched her the last 4 years. She gives us experience and will help us in depth in our pitching rotation, as will Antoinette Hill, listed as a redshirt freshman, even though she'll be in her third year in college. She went to Purdue, pitched in one game in 2020, did not pitch last year, but obviously Coach Erickson likes what he sees in Antoinette Hill, and add her to the list of Bulls pitchers. Go USFBulls.com. Has photos and more on both, and Little Birdie tells me we may be having some more softball news later on this week, so stay tuned for that. We told you that Andres Ferley had a chance of being on the weekly honors. In fact, the rookie of the week, the freshman. And okay, yeah, a little pat myself on the back here, as this is something I said about 60 seconds into his appearance on Friday night's game.
Just into the game, Andres Ferley has 5 shots, and he's a guy who I can tell you is going to get his goals from distance. I mean, he is not afraid to pound it from 18 to 25 yards, and he sets up shop there and is able to turn. Look out.
And that was based on seeing him in the exhibition games and knowing that he had that potential, and he had had some near misses on those long-range shots. Well, a few minutes later,
Over to Scargill. Oh, good low ball. Great idea to Ferreira, and he's right there with it. Has Soga to his left. There's that long shot I was telling you about, and he scores! Boy, I said if he gets a turn from anywhere in that 20 to 25 yard range, he is going to have a go, and he did. That was magnificent.
That was in the first half, and it was key for 2-0, because this was a Stetson team that, even though the Bulls were going to have a man advantage on due to an early red card, had been down 1-0 and 2-0 in its previous two games and came back to tie it, and really had a lot of late drama in their contests to earn a tie in one case, to barely lose in another. And you just didn't want them to be hanging around. And that goal and his second goal, a header beautiful early in the second half, made it clear that the Bulls were going to get that win. He is out of the Clearwater Chargers Club, And I don't think that puts him in the starting lineup just yet, but it is going to get him a lot more playing time, as the Bulls have been basically going with one striker up top. Currently, Segun Ofolabi is injured, so it's Oscar Rosano right now. You can't forget about Victor Claudel. They have a lot of options, is the point. And again, they were supposed to play tonight against UNF, but that game has been completely removed from the schedule due to COVID-19 protocols. On the Ospreys side, Bulls play Tulsa Saturday at noon, and we'll have that one for you. Another team that's dealing with some injuries, some illnesses, but still making it through non-conference play, 4-2-1. And again, with the two losses to teams that are now both, by the way, in the top 10, TopDrawerSoccer.com announced its latest rankings. And guess who the highest two ranked teams in the SEC are? LSU at 8 in the country, Tennessee at 10 in the country. And there's a few more down in the poll: Arkansas, Texas A&M, Auburn as well as South Carolina. No more American Athletic Conference teams in the top 25, as Memphis got beat by Drake over the weekend. UCF dropped out, and the Bulls are bubbling underneath. But after their win against Miami, I wanted to get to the first chance at practice on Monday morning and talk to the head coach of the Bulls, Denise Shelty Brown. Since I could not be in Miami, I mean, I thought about it for a couple seconds, but that's...
You're not forgiven.
I watched Coach, and obviously you guys deserve that victory. Probably would not have minded seeing an actual offensive goal, but if any team deserved to have something go in off another player, it's you guys, right?
I mean, I felt confident that had the defender not knocked it in, we had three players around. So I felt like it was an earned goal, if that makes sense. And we had five other clear chances. And, you know, I'm not sure what we're saving them up for. I think we're just putting them in the bank kind of thing.
Yes.
So we've banked a lot of opportunities that are going to go our way. And we're not going to stress about those. I think the real positive to the game was that we didn't give up a soft goal.
You hardly gave up anything. I mean, their two shots weren't even close to the goal. On a day where, according to the announcers on the ACC network, it seemed like it was even hotter and more humid than here, could you speak about the conditions?
It was. It was very, very hot. There was a little overcast and breeze in moments, but then that would, like, pass and it would be, like, super hot. But, you know, we did such a great job of keeping the ball that I think we had more energy and were able to execute our game plan because we kept the ball.
You look at things now. Teams that beat you are both 7-0, so it's not like those are quote-unquote bad losses. I know you wish your record was better, but overall, going into conference, how do you rate and register your team's performance? I mean, I know you want it to be a little bit better, but
yeah.
It's not terrible.
No, I'm not at all. We have a fabulous team, and we're doing a lot of good things. We know our focus right now. Transitional goals been a problem, and we have to work on that. Absolutely, the moment of transition. We know that there's some really great teams in our conference in those moments. The way we react defensively, the organization of that has to be better. So, I mean, we are working on defensive efforts right now. And you would think, based on our, you know, the way things are going, that we would be, like, all about scoring goals. But that's going to come for us. I mean, we're dangerous. Nobody will argue that we're not dangerous. We're registering way more shots than the other teams. We're getting lots of opportunities. Everybody on my team is capable of scoring goals, so that's going to come for us. The focus is defending.
And one thing I got to tell you, and it's sort of settled down over the last couple games as far as the lineup goes, but I've noticed you guys have a lot of options this year.
Well, you know, I just think COVID sickness and injuries have been such a blessing that, you know, there's times and seasons where you don't have any of these challenges, and then you don't cultivate depth because, you know, you get a little bit fixated on a group and maybe they start to break away, that they start to separate themselves because of time on the pitch and confidence. And honestly, we don't always recognize the opportunity in front of us when, you know, a key player gets injured or does have to sit out because of COVID or a sickness. We've had a couple flus that have, you know, held some players out. But because of that, you're right. I feel like we've cultivated a lot of good depth. You know, we have a lot of strikers that come in and do different things. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be the coach trying to analyze which striker we were going to manage on the day. That's tricky. We got a couple midfielders that come in. I'm really proud of what Maya does off the bench. So, you know, we've cultivated depth in all our positions. And, you know, it's more about our style of play, maintaining that level and being able to do that with the depth off our bench. And I think they're doing a good job.
And And last thing, because it's almost taken for granted. You talk about I wouldn't want to be the other team. It seems like I can feel the nerves anytime Sid gets the ball within 30 yards from goal. Some of the stuff she's done, she's taken it to another level, it would seem like, this year.
She has gotten better every year. If you went and watched video from her first year, I mean, there was lots of highlights, and everybody loved watching her play because she's so special and fun to watch play. But it was far from being dangerous for the other team. And then your sophomore year, you know, she started to make some of our teammates dangerous. I mean, she really helped Evelyn in a lot of ways and grew our team, but for herself, not so much. And then last year, she started to be dangerous as an individual and just putting teams on their toes, and everybody had to prepare for her. And this year, it's almost like they can't prepare for her. They really can't. They can try, they can do things, but she is just a really, really special player. If I'm a professional coach, I'm drafting Sydney first. That's how much I believe in her. It's not the level of the opponent. Sometimes it's her own mentality. She's really hard on herself. She wants to have amazing performances day in and day out. But her brain has really grown into a tactical brain, thinking about where she's receiving the ball, where her teammates are, where the pressure is, how to maximize her opportunities. And she's getting now, like, you know, sometimes 9 shots on goal, you know, and those are going to start going in, and then people better watch out.
Yeah, her bank is also filled with stuff.
It is so. It's full. Let's bank a lot of credit.
All right, let's go to the ATM on Thursday night. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Dirk. Go Bulls!
Go Bulls is right. Vivian Bissette, honored by the league as part of the weekly honor roll, basically one of the top players on that defense, of course, that did such great work in 2 victories. On the volleyball side, first honors of the season, Marta Svitkovic, who had 18 kills in that match against LIU, hit 440 with 14 kills against JU, along with CC Clausen, who was 5th in the conference as far as digs per set, had 21 of them in the 4-setter. And 3-0, that's got the Bulls back to .500.
Wanted to talk to Jolene Shepherdson about what happened last weekend. Coach, let's kind of go through it. First of all, you know, you had really put out pretty well Sunday, the previous against Miami, close, but all those, especially in the first match, right, close sets turned your way against Long Island, and that sort of got you going?
Yeah, Long Island definitely tested us, and they had some good players that pushed us, and I saw some growth in our players. I knew they had the desire, and we worked a lot in practice leading up to this tournament, but it was a great test at the beginning for us to fight back, because we were up in those sets against Miami, and we showed our youth a little bit. So I was really proud of how they came out in this tournament. And, you know, even though we won in 3 those other 2 matches, to be honest, they were up in some of those sets, and we persevered. We grew. We got better. Our game improved in each of those sets. So it was overall a great weekend, a great progression through each of those 3 matches.
Is that something that you just sort of have to go through it? Do you even try to address it during practice as far as from a mental standpoint pushing through? Or do they kind of have to do it for it to happen? Because I know in the 4th set they were down 2 set points and ended up winning the match then.
Yeah, I think a combination of both. A little things in the gym that we're putting, the different drills are testing them, specifically defensive drills, is attitude, right? It's like, do I want that ball? And we had some very inspiring plays. Amanda DeWitt really ran down a ball. I'm getting goosebumps because that kind of fight from a freshman is just wonderful. It just inspired everybody. There was a trickle-down effect from there. Like, it really resonated in all of them. They all became better fighters after that. And I spoke with her after. We met leading up to the next match or something, and I said, gosh, that was so inspiring. I showed her on video, like, how cool you ran 30 feet to get that ball, and you fought it, and CeCe was chasing after her, and she was able to get that ball over. And just those, like, hustle plays, those, like, you know, guts, like the ball's barely off the floor, and it just inspires everybody to work a little bit harder. And to see that, you know, in our, you know, a young squad is awesome. And I showed her on video, she goes, you know what? I would have never been comfortable doing that unless I did it in practice. So we put them in tough drills to try to create that. And we just have really fast learners, I think. They're eager to learn. They're eager to get better. They're really seeing their vision for the game. And we're trying to create the drills to push them. now.
You just said that's awesome. A young team. Yeah. Amanda probably playing a little bit more sooner and more often than it would have been predicted with Matt getting hurt. And then you see Amiri in there as well. And, of course, Tizzy. I mean, yeah. It seems like they've really turned a corner like they had to turn a corner, but they're improving too, right, big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have Mac out. We have Jack out. You know, Lions, Matty Lions, a lot of returners out with injuries. And so these young players maybe that didn't know, you know, coming in, they thought they were more of a developmental role because we had some upperclassmen, but you know, with the depth slowly went down with some injuries, and they're doing a great job. I'm just really proud of how they're learning each match or each practice. Like, they're getting that 1% better. They're not taking that for granted. They're really eager to learn, and they're embracing those moments.
I know you guys have another road trip. I'm going to be over there on Friday. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. But I never got to talk to you after the sellout at the Corral.
Oh,
and
know.
If that can be
so
anything
awesome.
Like you guys for the rest of the season, yeah. Home match is going to be even more fun, right?
Oh, yes, 100%. That was beautiful. Beautiful thing to be home. We're going to be home again on the 24th, like trying to get everybody back in and finding ways to get more seats so we can have everybody that wants to come, because
no one's gonna go up in my room. That's my room.
great support. And you know, even though that was a tough loss for us at home opener, like we from what I hear gave a good show, a good fight. So I think we have a lot of great support. They see how hard our student athletes are working, and I think they'll come back for more and see us grow each match.
They should. And thanks to last weekend, you can bring a winning record into that next home match. But first, get ready for some more road action. Thanks and congratulations.
Thank you.
What a story about Amanda DeWitt, huh? Planning on talking to her today at practice. We'll be getting up earlier to talk to her, along with maybe Freire himself. And stay tuned for plenty of that on tomorrow's Bulls Beat. But that's going to do it for the Tuesday version. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.